You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
The Money Zone is brought to you by Falker Consulting, a lighthouse to steer you in the right direction.
So corporate financial planning, employee benefits, individual financial planning. What does this mean? Does it apply to me? What does it cost? And who do I trust? I'm as confused as a chameleon in a smarty box.
Relax. In a sea of confusion, a lighthouse brings calm, and all you need is someone to steer you in the right direction. Falker Consulting is an independent financial planning practice with a strong blend of knowledge and ethics that forms the foundation of their long-term client relationships. They are independent brokers who will answer all your questions and complement your needs with appropriate advice and product solutions through their carefully selected product partners. Call them at 021-555-0757 or visit falkerconsulting.co.za. Falker Consulting. A beacon when you need one.
Falker Consulting is an authorized financial services provider.
They are indeed, and the man behind Falker Consulting is Paul Falker himself. How are you, Paulie V? Are you well?
Good, thanks. How are you, Unicorn?
We are great. We are great. And we nearly got that all wrong. We had a bit of a break, and it was nice. And you, have you had any breaks, or are you just taking tomorrow off?
I spent a bit of time in Johannesburg and a bit of time in KZN. One was work, one was pleasure. So, yeah. But catching everything up now.
KZN must be an interesting place to visit at the moment.
I think Johannesburg is worse, to be honest.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to...
When I was in KZN, there was a lot of... There was taxi issues blocking the highways and all that sort of thing.
It's chaotic up there. And it's going to be even more chaotic tomorrow. But that is tomorrow's problem. Today, though, we are talking about the thing called ESG investing. I have no idea what that means. No idea.
Yeah. So
you say it like you knew. I would have no idea.
No, it's another one of those acronyms in our industry.
But yeah.
Anyway, ESG, the acronym ESG stands for Environment, Social, and Governance.
And
ESG investing is also known as responsible investing. Some people prefer to call it impact investing or socially responsible investing. So it's really just the lens through which the large institutional investment houses look at companies. So other than just looking at the balance sheet and the cash flows and that type of thing, they take a softer look at things called ESG. And the reason for that is that there's a strong and growing demand by investors, particularly young investors, to invest in unit trust funds that are not just making stock picking decisions based on returns. They're saying you need to impact your communities, you need to impact your environment and that type of thing. And in 2023, there were approximately $480 billion in unit trust funds that were specifically ESG funds. So, you know, you'll get a general equity funds and healthcare funds and bond funds and that type of thing. And now we have ESG, where the investor knows that the asset management company have done a due diligence around these ESG issues. So what are the things they look at? Let's kick off with environment first. So they would look at things like, does this company have a corporate climate policy? What's its energy use like? Is it burning fossil fuels or has got smart energy? What do they do with their waste? Are they polluters? What about gas emissions? That's what the type of things they look for under environment. And then under the social part of that, they're looking at these companies' relationships with their internal and external shareholders. So it's things like, what are the workplace conditions? Is this a sweatshop or is it a working environment? What about health and safety issues? Does this company make donations to charities? Are they doing work in their community? And then in terms of governance, I think that would kind of be self-explanatory. You know, what sort of accounting methods are they using? Have they got diverse leadership? Are they using political donations to secure contracts and that type of thing? So it's environment, social, and governance. And you'll understand that there could be all sorts of different funds that are kind of tagged as ESG. Mm. So, you know, it could be an offshore equity fund, or it could be a, you know, specifically a Japan fund or a US fund. And the ESG is kind of just another layer. So what about performance? How do these funds, what are the returns compared to funds where there is no ESG overlay? So the biggest problem is that generally your two best performing companies are tobacco companies and defense companies. Cigarettes and weapons.
Yeah, not going to make it into the ESG category. No.
they don't make it into the ESG. And generally, you know, over time, particularly in these big developed markets, tobacco and defense industry companies perform well. And even in South Africa, you know, British American Tobacco is a major contributor to the stock market.
I would have thought that pharmaceutical, big pharma would be in there as well.
Other than kind of tobacco, the fossil fuel companies, Shell, all of these companies, and arms manufacturers, there are a lot of other industries that are kind of ESG friendly.
But not so, ESG.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But now you'll like this. There was a survey that was done last year on a community called Tree Hugger, of course. 50% of the members on this Tree Hugger group said that they were willing to sacrifice up to 10% of their investment returns in order to use an ESG fund. However, 74% of them also indicated that investment returns were very, very important.
Mm.
So I'm not sure how they handle that contradiction, but you know, maybe half in ESG and the other half will need to make money outside of ESG. But generally what you find is that these ESG funds underperform your regular non-ESG funds by about 1 percentage point a year.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not huge. It extrapolates over time. But I have a feeling that that gap is actually going to widen because what you're seeing now is that the big lending institutions, the big banks, et cetera, are very hesitant to fund anything that's not environmentally friendly. So, for instance, you know, you can be a electricity producer business in South Africa. If you're going to be burning coal, they're not going to fund you.
Mm.
So they'll only fund the smart ones. So I think what will happen is that over time, these ESG funds will probably gain some type of advantage because they'll have access to easier and cheaper funding. I think there will probably be a growing demand for ESG funds. But I think with most investors, you know, they're happy to possibly make a small sacrifice, but they don't want to lose money going into ESG funds. So we'll see. It's a sector that's developing, and it's developing quite quickly. It's driven mainly by younger investors. And so the asset management companies do feel compelled to have an ESG offering. I'm not aware of any ESG funds in South Africa. I think the local stock market's just too small.
Mm.
You know, if you had to start eliminating the tobacco companies and the mining companies and that type of thing, there really wouldn't be much left.
Mm.
So it's an offshore phenomenon rather than a local phenomenon.
These funds are based in different countries. So you've got one in America, you've got one in the UK, you've got one in wherever. Is there a kind of global ESG kind of fund?
Yeah, so there's, you know, it's not a matter of there being one in the US and one in Japan and one in the UK. There's a lot of funds that have got an ESG overlay. And there are global funds that have got this kind of ESG overlay in any case. And what you see on a lot of the platforms is that they give them an ESG ranking out of 5. And even 1 star means that you are, let me call it, ESG compliant.
Mm.
But, you know, 5 star means that you know, obviously just 100% compliant and you're giving back to the community and you aren't breaking or burning anything. But it's quite interesting that when we talk to investors up until a year and a half ago, nobody would even mention, they don't always use the acronym ESG, but they'll talk about environmentally friendly funds or that type of thing. And we're being asked the question more and more. So I think that's actually quite interesting. And, you know, I suppose there is a whole shift to you know, being environmentally conscious and sustainable and good governance.
Look, I think good governance would be required across any fund. It's yeah. I think that is just basic common sense as far as any fund is concerned. But you said we don't have any in South Africa. Can South African investors have access to these ESG funds elsewhere?
Yes, they can. So they can access them either directly offshore if they have the ability to externalize money, or they can use what we call feeder funds, which are essentially offshore funds, but rand in and rand out. So it doesn't take away the political risk. It still gives you full exposure to offshore, but you have to put your rands in, and when you take your money out one day, it's got to be rands in a South African bank account, which is different to a completely externalized offshore fund.
So they can have access to it, and you can represent them.
We can, but as I said, there's no South African funds that are specifically ESG funds, because I think the investment universe is just too small.
Okay, Paul, I'm not asking you. I know that what your views are on giving investment advice. This is not investment advice. Mm. But somebody listening to us now, first question, do you think it is sustainable? You've already indicated that you think it's going to grow. And would you advise South African people to start looking at these funds?
You know, this is very much the sort of soft side of investing, isn't it? Because you know, when people talk to us about constructing an investment portfolio, we'll look at their appetite to take risk and historic investment returns and asset allocation. And we wouldn't traditionally say, you know, is ESG an important component here? And I think we're going to probably have to start doing that. And I think that they are sustainable because, you know, they are big, particularly because these are offshore funds. You know, you're talking about a couple of thousand shares in the US. Mm. You can surely put together a portfolio of 50 or 60 companies that meet most of these ESG requirements. Mm. So, I think they certainly are sustainable. You know, you could in a sense do a comparison with Sharia compliant funds for Muslim investors. Mm. You know, there's certain industries that they have to steer away from, including cigarettes and alcohol and that type of thing. Mm. And they have been around for decades. And at times they've underperformed and at times they've done really well. They're probably also slightly underperformed over time. But, you know, I certainly think ESG funds are sustainable for sure.
All right. Well, it sounds very interesting to me. As a layman, it sounds to me like it's packaging more than anything else. It's we know that people want to use bamboo towel, so we put a big label bamboo towel on the towel, and then people buy them because it's a bamboo towel. And there are a lot of people that do feel inclined to want to be environmentally friendly. They want to be seen to be environmentally friendly, and some of the big investment houses want to also be seen to be supporting that. So you're right, it could gain some traction.
Yeah, I think it's, I think this is kind of where you were going, is that it's available for people that feel it's an important issue. A lot of people don't. They focused on investment returns. I don't want to make a moral judgment on whether it's right or wrong. I think, you know, for people for whom it's important, you know, your comic-y listeners, the funds are available.
Yeah, it's, I think what's happening with these kind of things is that there are certain people with certain money that they want to invest, and I just think they're giving people a spread of options, because there are so many funds. You can make up a fund of the top 100 of this or the top 50 of that.
Exactly.
And people that are interested in that packaging will go that way. It's just interesting that it now becomes part of your sort of everyday advice. So why I'm raising that is because when you walk into the next client or somebody contacts you and you say to them, listen, are you, interested in ESG? At least they know what it is and why you're asking that question.
Yeah. And it's just for people to know that it's available. But, just a little anecdote as well, as you can, if you take the annual reports of any listed companies from 10 years ago and you look at what they reported at, it was all cash flows, balance sheet, that type of thing. And you'll see now, if you look at large companies' annual report, they refer to what they're doing in their communities, and what they're doing to reduce their carbon footprint and that type of thing. And as I said, 10 years ago, it wasn't an issue. It's not what the institutional investors were looking for. They were looking at bottom line.
Mm.
And now they're looking more than just the bottom line. And so big companies report on these things.
Yeah, so it's a combination between that and the bottom line that now becomes important. There's another parameter that they mix into the equation.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. And, you know, as I alluded to earlier, I suppose the issue is whether you're happy to sacrifice 1 percentage point a year in order to be an ESG investor. And some people would say, yeah, sure. And Tree Huggers said they were happy to sacrifice 10% of the investment return a year.
Yeah, that again depends on what your base is for your investment strategy. So if you were targeting a certain return and you're happy with going 10% below or 10% below normal returns is your target return, then there's nothing lost.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So I think it is sustainable. I think we'll see it growing into the future and – you know, who knows, maybe it becomes the norm rather than a niche. But we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
I
think an important point about funding, large corporates battling to access funding for you know, dirty energy and that type of thing in future.
Look, it doesn't sound like the worst idea in the world, and it doesn't, you know, again, it's all driven by the banks and the pressure that it's been put on them. I mean, if there wasn't the kind of pressure on the banks that there is, then, you know, they would be happy to fund anybody. But now it's becoming a global topic. Just how much foundation there is to that is also debatable, by a lot of people. And, you know, for anybody who thinks that global warming is a crock, they're not really going to be interested in this. They're looking at investment returns and they want the best returns they can get. But for somebody who has a view on global warming or whatever those issues are, climate change or things like that, they will be prepared to sacrifice because, you know, those people are the kind of people too. And I say this in jest, folks, I say this in jest, but they're the ones on the Triaga platform that are prepared to chain themselves to a tree.
But you know, it's not just the environmental side. I think the social side, you know, you ideally don't want to support companies that are running sweatshops.
Correct.
You know, health and safety and treat your staff properly. And are you doing work in the community to help people, to help poor people?
And I think
there's no downside to that.
No, there is. And anybody who debates that should or shouldn't be part of a strategy, you know, maybe should go and revisit their own morals because it's been a world outcry for so long. About cheap imports from China coming in because of, you know, sweatshops and the like and the diabolical human rights track record. And yet somehow they still do it. So there's no reason why an ESG fund can't counter that.
I
think it's cool.
Exactly.
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. Awesome stuff. So, just offhand, can you mention any companies that you know of that are falling into this ESG category in around the world?
No, because there are specific unit trust funds, and I would need to go and dig down and have a look and see what exactly what's in there. But we can do it for a later show. For sure.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Listen, not a long session today. It's nice to see you again, and thank you so much for your expertise each and every month. And we'll touch base with you again on in a month's time.
Yeah, and all the listeners must go out and vote tomorrow.
Yes, and vote with their heads.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where do you have to go and vote?
I voted yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Special vote.
A special vote. Look at that.
Just apply for it and you get it. So.
Special vote. Nochal. Look at this. Our Paulie V. All right, I'll be standing in the queue tomorrow and making my cross. Paul, thanks so much for your time again this afternoon, and we look forward to chatting in a month's time.
Thank you, Unicorn. We'll catch up next month.
Take care, brother.
Bye.
The Money Zone was brought to you by Falco Consulting, a beacon of light when you need one. Corporate financial planning, employee benefits, individual financial planning. What does this mean? Does it apply to me? What does it cost? And who do I trust? I'm as confused as a chameleon in a smarty box.
Relax. In a sea of confusion, a lighthouse brings calm, and all you need is someone to steer you in the right direction. Fulcher Consulting is an independent financial planning practice with a strong blend of knowledge and ethics that forms the foundation of their long-term client relationships. They are independent brokers who will answer all your questions and complement your needs with appropriate advice and product solutions through their carefully selected product partners. Call them at 021-555-0757 or visit fulkerconsulting.co.za. Fulcher Consulting, a beacon when you need one.
Fulcher Consulting is an authorized financial services provider.